the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about delay in marriage in the view of Islam.
So blue upon my eyes with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive. Just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do.
Many things, yeah.
That can make me feel so close to you.
My heart when I'm
loving, 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 loving.
But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 25th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of the month of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. For today, we choose chapter Nur, verse 26.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم.
Evil words are for evil men, and evil men are subjected to evil words. And good words are for good men, and good men are an object of good words. Those good people are declared innocent of what the slanderers say. For them is forgiveness and noble provision.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
And now the point behind this verse. This verse propounds a general principle, and it does not imply that if a man or a woman is good, his or her spouse necessarily is also good, forgiven, and is one of the people of the heaven. For the Holy Quran counts faith, piety, and good deed as the criterion. It is possible that the purpose of the verse is intellectual, doctrinal, ethical conformity, so as to say that man and wife must be matching in soft-hued with each other.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbil Alameen, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbil Alameen.
In this part of today's special, we'll look at the delay in the effect of delay. We speak about delay in marriage in the view of Islam. Dear friend, it is hardly a factor like corruption and sexual deviation that cause so much damage to young ones. These corruptions and deviations blacken the lives of boys and girls and incur psych damage and loss upon the youth that leaves negative effects on them for the rest of their lives. Sexual deviation destroys and spoils the charm, freshness, faith, potential, talents, and the existence of a man. Men, I mean in general, human being. Those who are concerned and have contact with society and the youth understand the depth of this tragedy, and they know the exact extent of irreversible harm and damage. This is incurred upon the structure of society, families, and youth by corruption, deviation, and contamination of boys and girls.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the defects or the unfavorable consequences of late marriage or getting married quite late in life. First of all, it must be indicated that we human beings have been created in the form of either man or woman. And according to the mysteries of creation, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it, has made it in such a way that men need women and women are in need of men. Not simply sexually, but psychologically, but from the point of growth or from the point of reaching a kind of stability of personality or stability of character. In the Holy Quran, there are certain Quranic verses that are related to the point of getting married. One of them is in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. From the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created from you people who are suitable for getting married to. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you would receive calmness, I mean, through getting married. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He has created between you friendship, devotion, and attention, and divine grace. This Quranic verse implies that there are three metaphysical or psychological aspects involved in getting married. One of them is that at least around 80% of the people's interest or people's attention to get married is because of fulfilling psychological needs. So we find that our psychological need is much more than our sexual need.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
One of the best and worthiest benefits of marriage is the safety of men from this dirt, corruption, and deviation. Let's look at benefits of marriage on time in Islam. Being obedience to Allah. Islam encourages marriage to every Muslim who is capable of doing so. It has become a sunnah in Islam. As the Prophet Muhammad said, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, said, O young people, whoever among you is able to marry should marry. Guarantee of righteous offspring is one of the important effects of marriage in its suitable time. Raising the children in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Almighty, will be greatly rewarded. The degree of faithful children who always send their prayer to their parents are similar with giving charity. As said by the Prophet of Islam, when a person dies, his deeds discontinue, except for three reasons: ongoing charity, knowledge which people benefit from, and a righteous offspring who prays for him.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know. You've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh.
And now, when must we marry? When puberty is reached, marriage becomes a desirable act, and whenever it comes to the revolt and rebellion of emotions and the preludes of sin become obvious, then marriage becomes obligatory. When a person attains maturity and puberty, his time for marriage has arrived, and delaying it would not be advisable in any way. Just as its early execution is also not commendable, for it's like being an unripe fruit. When the interior call of a person, which arises from one's nature and instinct, comes, it is a time for marriage. Everyone can clearly hear this call from his interior, provided, of course, that this power has been scared or become ill by the effect of various factors, because it is quite evident that if this power has been scared or become diseased, then it cannot give a timely and proper call. Just like a patient who has lost his appetite and his health deteriorates from its normal course.
One of the important questions about the issue of marriage these days is that at what age should a person, a young man, a young woman, look to get married? When we examine our societies of the past several decades, we realize that the age of marriage keeps being postponed more and more. And this is how our society evolved, actually, the past several decades. You find more and more people thinking of marriage in their late 20s, in their early 30s, sometimes in some societies even in their late 30s. What does the religion of Islam say about the age of marriage? There is one important point that I would like to share with you when it comes to the age of marriage. In our modern society, too often we forget that marriage is a shared sacrifice. Too often do we forget that marriage is a shared struggle between the husband and the wife. When we postpone the age of marriage, we are missing out on a shared history of sacrifice and struggles. And this will be detrimental to our marriages in the future. When you are young, there are many challenges. You have to go to school. You have to think of your finances, how to make a living. It is quite difficult. Yes, later on in life, financially, you tend to settle. You have a career, you've established a profession, and from this aspect, you are stable. But when you're young, you're studying, you're going to college, and on top of that, you have to worry about a career, about your finances. The struggle is great. The sacrifice is also great. A successful marriage is a marriage in which both the husband and the wife, both spouses, they sacrifice with each other.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about marriage. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till then, God bless all of you, and we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and here is a supplication that the faithful recite on this day, the 25th of the month of Zilqa'dah, after observing a special ritual prayer and thanking God for his favor in creating the earth and the wonders it contains. O pardoner of slips, pardon my failings. O answerer of supplications, grant my supplication. O hearer of all sounds, hear my cry. Have mercy on me and overlook my misdeeds and faults. O majestic and munificent one.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Zainul Abidin, the fourth Imam. And this hadith is about the love that God has for his servants. Specifically, it refers to the people who God loves, and answers us and informs us about who God loves. You know, in the Holy Quran, there are many verses which allude to a number of groups of people whom God describes as loving or who are beloved, who are described as being beloved by God and being loved by God. Before we begin and looking at the hadith from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, let's look at some of these verses of the Holy Quran. God Almighty says, indeed God loves the virtuous. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. He also says, indeed Allah loves the penitent and He loves those who keep clean. Inna Allaha yuhibbut tawwabin wa yuhibbul mutatahhirin. Those who repent and those who are pure and clean. Also, God says, yes, whoever fulfills his commitments and is wary of God, God indeed loves the God-wary. He loves the pious. In another verse, God Almighty says, Wallahu yuhibbus sabirin. Allah loves the steadfast and the patient. In a fifth verse, God Almighty says, Inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah loves those who trust in Him. And in a verse of the Holy Quran, God says, Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. God loves the just. Finally, Allah says, Allah loves those who fight in His way in ranks as if they were a compact structure. Right? So these are some of the verses of the Holy Quran which allude to the qualities which God loves and which, if adopted, lead to the person becoming beloved by God. So, but these are not exhaustive, meaning there's also other instances of groups of people being beloved by God and being loved by God. One of those is mentioned in this hadith and this tradition from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, indeed, Allah loves every sorrowful heart. Inna Allaha yuhibbu kulla qalbin hazin. He loves every sad heart, every sorrowful heart. And loves every grateful servant. Wa yuhibbu kulla abdin shakur. So thankfulness and having a sorrowful heart, these are loved by God. And God loves the person who has these qualities. Of course, here sorrow doesn't mean sorrow for the world. It probably refers to sorrow for example, one's sins, or sorrow for the sake of God. Not simply sorrow upon losing something from the world or for some worldly excuse. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at those who are loved by God in the words of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. This is a great time that we are having again some of our friends from Sevier International School.
Except for one.
Yeah, students. Three of our friends from Sevier International School here. So they've joined us to help us hold these Quranic sessions. As you know that you have been with us during these lessons, and we really thank you for this, and we really ask you to stay with us till the end of these sessions, till the end of this series of lessons, inshallah. So, okay, let's get back to our lesson. So, alhamdulillah, you understood that whenever the ya shape has two dots under it, that is the actual ya. You produce the sound of y, yeah, okay?
Yeah,
okay. But whenever it does not have, there is a dagger alif on the top of it.
It's
sitting
called
on
alif maqsura.
That is called alif maqsura. You pronounce the sound, you produce the sound of
ah.
So now, okay, now let's practice. Now, Hadi, Mahdi, look at me. Now practice with me. We have a fatha, then alif. Read it. Fatha alif. Now, fatha alif, dagger alif now. No. The dagger alif is as well pronounced as maqsura alif. The names are different. The shapes are different. The sounds are
different.
The same.
Same.
In parentheses. Alif is the same. The sound is the same sound. Alif maqsura, the same sound. Dagger alif, the same sound. Only the shapes and faces are different.
Wait, so alif maqsura is the same? It.
Yeah. I mean, the sound are the same.
Then, sir, why do we need a hamza?
Huh?
Why do we need hamza then?
Where is the hamza? Hamza
here,
is...
Look,
we have alif, we have hamza, right?
So we have... You could just for fa'awa. You could just remove the hamza, put an alif dagger and a sukun. And become fa'awa.
No. Fa'awa, that's hamza. So hamza is different from alif. You know, look at me. Alif does not accept any harakat, okay? Alif does not accept any harakat. So it does not have a, e, o. If you see a, e, o, that is hamza. Oh, one important point. I will say it after a salawat. Mm.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Okay,
sir,
look.
Wait.
Yes.
In here, fa'awa, in the what? There's alif maqsura and an alif dagger on top of it. Why?
Yeah. Oh, no. Look, that ye with alif maqsura, that ye with dagger alif is called alif maqsura. Together.
Yeah.
You got it?
Oh.
You didn't got it.
You were not paying attention.
Now.
He was listening to that baby crying in his cousin's house. That's why. Okay, pay attention. So, Mahdi, that ye, the shape of ye with that dagger alif is called alif maqsura. Yes? If that only, that alif, dagger alif is there, that's called? Dagger alif. If that dagger alif grows up, yeah, it becomes a complete alif. Yes? So
ya is the mother of dagger alif.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe, okay.
The father is alif?
Alif, the alif, okay. So, but they are from the same family. Yeah. I usually make this example. Look, my family name is Fasihizada, okay? My father's family name is Fasihizada. My grandfather's family name is Fasihi, okay? So we are from the same family, yes?
Yeah.
With the same name, but different people with the same family name. Fasihi. Yeah, maybe my baby becomes, again, Fasihi, okay? That means the same name, the same sound, but different people.
Yes.
So dagger alif, maqsura alif, and complete alif, the same sound, but different shapes, all right? Yes?
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
Understood?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Let's recite a salawat if you have understood.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Muhammad.
Okay, one thing. Everyone who are listening to us, look, whenever you want to thank Allah Almighty, you can say different words. Yes?
Like
so, alhamdulillah. MashaAllah.
We
say shukran lillah. We say salawat if you say again it's... Thanks to Allah. Yeah? And sometimes it's not about like saying words. Sometimes we have to practice it. So sometimes we have to do it. Yes? We have to show it by our actions. Like what? like go and do the prayers. Be good to the people. Yeah, respect your parents. If you respect your parents, it means you're thanking Allah Almighty. Yes? Allah Almighty has sent us Holy Quran. If you read and understand Holy Quran, it means you are thanking
Sir, I don't
Allah
know
Almighty.
I don't know what page, but it's an ayah I know.
So the thing was about respecting parents, yeah? That is a way of thanking to Allah Almighty. Yeah, whenever you eat your meal, like breakfast, like dinner, lunch, after you finish, you say?
Alhamdulillah.
Before you start?
Bismillah.
After you finish?
Alhamdulillah.
Ahsan. MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Muslim brothers are very good here.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
I told you I want to tell you one point. That was this. Look, so there is a Hamza, right? The difference between Hamza and Aleph. One difference is this: the shape is the shapes are different.
Yeah.
Next, Aleph does not accept any harakat. Aleph does not have fatha, does not have dhamma, does not have kasra. Mahdi, yes.
Aleph is angry.
Yeah. But Aleph, look, but Hamza, Mahdi, but Hamza accepts harakat. Accepts harakat, okay? It has kasra, it has fatha, it has zamba. A, e, o. Aleph cannot have a, e, o. Okay? Understood?
Yes.
That is Hamza. Now, one more thing about Hamza. Like dagger aleph. Dagger aleph sometimes comes alone, sometimes on the top of a ya. Yes?
Yes.
Hamza's will like this. Hamza sometimes comes and sits on aleph, sometimes sits on wall, sometimes sits on ya.
So it likes to sit on its friends?
Yes. It sits on ya, aleph, or waw. Okay? So wherever it goes, wherever it sits, okay? If it is on the top of aleph, waw, ya, that's again Hamza. Do not read it waw. Do not read it aleph. Do not read it ya, okay? Okay. Now, Minhal Hussein, read Hamza with fatha on the top of aleph.
Hamza with fatha on the top of aleph?
Yes.
No.
Just a sound. No longer. I mean, we're not talking about Aleph Madina, okay? Only Hamza with Fatha on the top of Aleph. It means that is Hamza, that's not Aleph. Good. Hamza with Dhamma on the top of Waw. Mahdi. Hamza, okay? With Kasra on the top of Ya.
E.
Hamza.
Sorry. Yeah. Say it.
Say, mother of
Mobin. E-U, right? That is Hamza, okay? So, let's go. I will read some words, okay? You got to repeat after me, inshallah. Then we will go and also practice some words from the Holy Quran. Some
can
verses,
we just
okay?
practice Surat An-Nur?
Surat An-Nur, that's too long. So, everyone, let's read Surat Al-Duha, inshallah, okay? I will read, and then you practice after me, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, as you are hearing us, thanks for being with us. Page 596, Surah Al-Duha. We will practice this surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Oh, I hear some wrong words. Shaytan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytan.
It is the name of shaytan, the evil. We don't like it, but it's the word of Quran, so we have to say it beautifully. Don't say A'udhu billahi minash shaytan.
Quran or shaytan? Hit shaytan or respect Quran?
Yeah, respect the Quran. If you respect the Quran, it means you're
respecting shaitan.
Yeah, seeking refuge from shaitan. No, you're not. So, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
What did you say?
A'udhu.
Oh, I heard ma'udhu. It's like one qamari. So, again. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والضحى.
والضحى.
Okay. Look at والضحى.
No, it's والضحى.
Yeah, the last part. Look at the last part. That is ألف. What ألف?
ألف
So can I explain how?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you pronounce wadduha, you don't pronounce wadduh. Wadduh. Wait.
Wadduhi.
You even need that. Anyways, you see the dhuha, ha has a
fatha.
Yes, and has a
maksura.
Yeah, but there's a alif dagger, so it makes a maksura.
Alif dagger. What about the ye?
Look at the teacher, doesn't know.
So that is a maqsura alif. We said if dagger alif with a shape of ye comes, okay, together, that's what? Alif maqsura.
Alif maqsura.
So wadduha. The sound is correct. MashaAllah. So, one more ayah, then inshallah we will practice it more. So, wadduha.
Wadduha.
Don't say wadduhi.
Wadduha.
Or don't say wadduha.
You say
wadduha. Alif, okay?
Wadduha.
Wal-layli idha saja.
Wal-layli idha saja.
Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala.
Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala.
See how beautiful the verses of the Holy Quran are. Wadduha. والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى ولا الآخرة خير لك من الأولى.
Sir, he said والليل إذا سجى
rhyming words, yes? So beautifully. So thank you so much. Inshallah we'll practice it, okay? And in the next session we'll practice it inshallah. But before we end, we will really thank again the IRIB English Radio. Yes?
Yes.
And also, Xavier International
School.
And also, yeah, yeah. Hadi, Mahdi, and Milhan Hussain. Especially me. Thank you so much.
So there was especially me.
Let's recite a salawat, everyone. Allah.
Allah.
Allah. Muhammad.
Muhammad. Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati habni libtida'i karamak wa salif birrik bi ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi. My Allah, my Master and my Lord. Aturaka mu'adhibi binarika ba'da tawhidik. Can you be seen tormenting me with your fire after I have professed to your oneness? وَبَعْدَ مَنْ طَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَلْبِي مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. After your cognition my heart has embraced. وَلَهِجَ بِهِ لِسَانِي مِنْ ذِكْرِكَ. And the remembrance of you my tongue has constantly mentioned. In this regard, first we discussed the concept of oneness and believing in monotheism as one of the things, as one of the first and foremost things the prophets have invited the people to, which is monotheism and denying earthly deities in a couple of programs. Now we can move on to this part. وَبَعْدَ مَنْ طَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَلْبِي مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. After your cognition my heart has embraced. We have mentioned a couple of times earlier on that one of the most significant requisites for the acceptance of a prayer is the true knowledge and recognition of the Almighty Allah. The true ma'rifah and belief in His absolute power and strength. The servant needs to believe that the Almighty Allah has power in actualizing the asks and the different requests of the servant. It has been reported from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, had you recognized Allah with the recognition due to Him, your prayers would have dislodged the mountains. It is also reported that once Imam Sadiq alaihi salam recited the verse, is not he the one who answers the call of the distressed when he invokes him? أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. So he was asked, why is it that we invoke but we're not answered? Imam alayhi salam replied, because you invoke one whom you do not recognize. You pray for what you do not know. This tradition, dear listeners, emphasizes on the importance of the role of the supplicant's awareness of the reality and object of prayer and of the one who is asked from in the acceptance of prayer.
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity? And despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity. No, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَبَعْدَ مَنْ طَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَلْبِي مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. After my heart has embraced your cognition, I have totally believed in you. And this cognition and belief not only is beneficial in the acceptance of prayers, but also in keeping us away from the fire of hell. أَتُرَاكَ مُعَذِّبِي بِنَارِكَ. Can you be seen tormenting with your fire? After I have professed your oneness, after your cognition my heart has embraced, after the remembrance of you my tongue has constantly mentioned. In one interesting tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the Holy Prophet sallallahu has said, Allah the Almighty, the Majestic says, whoever asks me, knowing that I am the only one who harms and benefits, then I will surely answer him. This simple recognition of the Almighty Allah, that He is the absolute cause, is the secret to the vast ocean of His mercy. In one of his supplications, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, you have lauded yourself for having no need for your creatures, and it suits you to have no need for them. You have attributed to them poverty, and it suits them to be poor toward you. So he who strives to remedy his lack through what is with you and wishes to turn poverty away from himself through you has sought his need in the most likely place and come to his request from the right quarter. We also have different reflections of the importance of recognition in our whispered prayers or munajat. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, in one of these whispered prayers, immaculate is he on whom relies every believer, and of whom every denier is in need. And no one can become needless except by the grace of what is with him. This simple belief is everything. And that's why we read in Sahifa al-Alawiyya, who can do harm to you or fight against you or be beyond your reach or be safe from your decree? The servant needs to know that it is only Allah that knows the different ways of salvation and destruction. He has to rely on Him in asking from Him, so that he may not pray to Allah for something which there might be his own perdition in. The Holy Quran says, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Man prays for ill as avidly as he prays for good, and man is over hasty. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Canon and Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In these series of shows, we are trying to answer doubts and misconceptions on different issues in Islam. And for that, we are trying to invite different scholars from Qom Seminary schools to help us answer the questions that we pose in this series of shows. Like recent shows, we have invited Sheikh Murtada Karimi, a researcher from Qom Seminary schools, to answer the question that we shall pose today. Before starting our discussion, I'd like to welcome Sheikh Murtada to the show. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us to have you here, Sheikh. The question of the day that we need to ask it from your presence, dear Sheikh, is about the important act of worship that is Hajj. Hajj among Muslims is a very great event and one of the most important acts of worship that every Muslim from around the world wishes to at least perform it once. I wish and I pray for all the brothers and sisters who are listening to this show so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the tawfiq to perform Hajj, inshallah, in their lifetime. For those who are going, inshallah, for this spiritual journey, inshallah, in upcoming days, since it's very close and we are approaching the days of Hajj and we are in the days of Dhul Qa'dah or Dhul Hajjah. So people are preparing themselves for this great spiritual journey. So we wanted to ask you to give us some hints or guidelines. How can we prepare ourselves before we depart from our country, our hometown? And then what we can do during the time that we are in Medina or the time that we are in Mecca? What kind of, let's say, recommendations will you share with us, inshallah, based on the advices and words of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim
salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are many points to be mentioned here, but I try to refer to some narrations to share some of the most important ones. Hopefully they would be beneficial for the dear listeners.
Inshallah.
And maybe one of the most important preparations for Hajj is to know what Hajj is all about.
Mm-hmm.
We know that every act of worship has a kind of appearance, and then there are many hidden layers to it.
Yeah.
The same is true about Hajj. So those people who want to go to Hajj, sometimes because of the fact that they come to this conclusion,